question, my friend. Are things absolutely driving you crazy? Things to do, things to take care of, things to check up on, things to watch over, things to count, things to rearrange. Are you going crazy because of all the things in your life? And let me ask you another question. What place does the Word of God and serious study of the Word of God have in your life? And you say, Kay, it's all the things in my life that are keeping me from the Word. We'll talk about it today. Christ is your life, if Christ is your mind, if Christ is your goal, then I want you to know something. Things can rob you of your joy, because joy is really found in our relationship to Jesus Christ. And as we continue in our study of Philippians chapter 3, what we see in chapter 7 is that word things as a key repeated word. Now, if you've gotten your study guide and you're studying the Bible and learning how to study the Bible for yourself as you watch this program and as you download our study guide, then you know that one of the words that we had you mark was things. And I just suggested that you put like an orange cloud around it and then color it orange. You say, what about this study guide? Well, this study guide is available to you, my friend, simply by going to www.preceptsforlife.com, and there you can download the study guide on Philippians. You say, but you're in chapter 3. Yes, we're in chapter 3, but we have much yet to see. And not only that, but you can go back and pick up on anything that you have missed on Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. And as you do, you'll see that we have been looking at Philippians from several different angles. But one of them are thieves that can rob us of our joy. And we saw that in chapter 1 that our circumstances can rob, but that our imprisonment can rob us of our joy. We find ourselves caught or imprisoned in some situation or some relationship or maybe confined at home. And if Christ is not our life, then that imprisonment can rob us of our joy. We saw in chapter 2 that people can rob us of our joy, that sometimes people aren't the easiest things to get along with, the easiest people to get along with, and sometimes relationships are very tense. But if Christ is our mind, if we have this mind that is in us, which was in Christ Jesus, then people cannot rob us of our joy, because our mind is set on God's will. Our mind is set as a servant mind, so that we're there to serve others and not to be served. Well, when we come to chapter 3 and we mark the word things, we see that things can rob us of our joy. Now, what Paul does in Philippians chapter 3, he warns them in the first two verses that they are to beware of dogs, that they are to beware of evil workers, and they are to beware of the false circumcision. And then, and if you want to know what that means, get your study guide or get the CDs on this series and listen to it, because then you'll get it verse by verse. But then we come down to where Paul is saying, you know, don't put your confidence in the flesh. Don't put your confidence in the flesh. Don't put your confidence in the things that you've accomplished. And he says, rather, you should have Christ as the goal in your life. And what is going to keep you from having Christ as the goal in your life? Well, listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So you want to mark the word things. And here, what I would like you to do is because we're zeroing in on Paul. Now, I know that you went through, and if you did your homework and you marked all the way through, you color-coded every reference to Paul because he's actually the author. Now, the book opens up, and it opens up with Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. And so really, though, it's Paul dictating the letter, including Timothy as his disciple in what he is saying, but now he is really zeroing in on himself. Because when we look at that eye, then I want you to think of yourself. And I want you to see if you can read this passage and make the eye not you, but Paul. So he says, whatever things were gained to me. Now, the things that were gained to him are all the things that he put confidence in the flesh in. It was his, the fact that he had been circumcised the eighth day, that he was the nation of Israel. He was the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, you couldn't get any better. As to the law, he was a Pharisee. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which was of the law, he was found blameless. In other words, he kept that law. He kept every jot and every tittle, or he tried. Now, he didn't keep it all perfectly, but he said when it came to the law, he says, really, I lived in such a way that I was blameless. But whatever things were gain to me, those were things that were important in my life at one time. What is important in your life, beloved? Is it your house? Is it your career? Is it your car? Is it your possessions? Is it your jewels? Is it your wardrobe? Is it your furniture? Is it antiques? Or is it some kind of a collection? Well, what Paul is saying, or maybe it's what you've attained. Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's your status in the community. Maybe it's your status. Maybe you belong to a country club, or maybe you belong to some sort of society and you have achieved some status. Well, Paul says, whatever things were gained to me, those things, he says, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, over here are things, and here is Christ. And because I want Christ, because that is my goal, then because Christ is my goal, I know that I can't have my mind on both of these. I can't have my mind on Christ and my mind on things. So I'm counting all things, whatever they are, as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Now, I would underline knowing Christ in green, or underline it in some way. He says, this is the surpassing value. The thing that I value the most is knowing Jesus. Now, he is not talking about a casual knowing of Jesus. He is not talking about, oh, yes, do you know who Jesus is? Oh, yes, I go to church. Yeah, well, tell me about him. Well, he was the Son of God, and he lived on the earth, and he did miracles, and he died on a cross, and he was raised, or at least people believe that he was raised from the dead. And according to God, that's the way we have eternal life. Yeah, I know Christ. He's not talking about that. He's talking about knowing him intimately. He's talking about having such a grasp on Jesus that when he walks through life, he has a confidence in what he's doing because he knows that he is walking according to the Word of God. And so he goes on to say, he says, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now watch, for whom, Jesus, for whom I have suffered. And I just take suffered, and I just take a red pen and go, fine red pen, and go like that over it, so it's like flames. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Now, that word rubbish is a nice translation for the word dung, D-U-N-G, in other words, manure. And I think it's important for us to understand the graphic picture that he's giving us here. He is saying everything in life apart from knowing Christ, in comparison, is dung. It is just manure. It is just excrement. It is something that is to be eliminated. It is something that is not necessary. And this is his passion. I want to ask you a question. What is your passion? Do you have a passion for Christ like that, where you would count and regard everything as rubbish, as dung, as excrement, for the knowledge of knowing so that you might gain Christ? Now, what does he mean that you might gain Christ? Is he talking about earning Christ? Is he talking about working hard and keeping the law and everything so that you then can hope to have eternal life? I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact of experiencing the depths of Jesus Christ. He's talking about knowing him so intimately and understanding him so well that you know what his view is on the various things that have to do with life. I remember when I did an interview for 60 Minutes. Now, when 60 Minutes called me and said that they wanted to interview me for this program on Israel, I said, okay, I want you to tell me what this program is about. And he says, well, it's simply to show the support, Christian support of Israel. And I said, okay. And I said, how many people do you think are going to be on this program? So he named a list of other Christians. And so I said, now, are you sure that this is the purpose of this program? And they said, yes. Well, they lied to me. They just absolutely lied to me because they didn't really want to show the Christian support of Israel from a positive point of view. They wanted to show it from a negative point of view and then have others come in and really clean the Christians' plow, so to speak. And I remember I interviewed with them, we had about an hour and a half on tape, and everything that they asked me, I answered with Scripture. And I would just say, well, this is what the Word of God has to say. And then in between, we would have the dialogue. And the man that I dialogue, you can figure out which one it is if you want to, but is Jewish. And as we talked, I asked him, I said, well, you know, haven't you read the Old Testament? Don't you know these passages? And he says, no, I don't read the Bible. And I said, you know, as a Jew, you ought to know what the Word of God has to say. And I was talking Old Testament, but I said, you know, as a reporter, you really need to know what the Word of God has to say. Well, when I came on the program, I mean, they made me look like an idiot. And I mean, the way they cut it and the thing that they did, I mean, they took it out of context. But my consolation was that when I did the program, whoever edited it heard truth. And the men cutting that program that day in that hotel room in Atlanta heard truth. And all the television, radio interviews, excuse me, all the telephone interviews that we had, they heard truth. And this is what he said when he introduced me. Now, here's a woman, and she has an answer for everything. To gain Christ means that you so come to know him, and you've come to know him through the Scriptures, that you do have an answer for everything. You see, God has given us in this book everything, absolutely everything that pertains to life and godliness. God wants you and I to know him. And when Jesus was with the two men on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, it says that he opened the Scriptures and explained to them all things concerning himself. This is what it means, that I might know him, that I might gain Christ. We'll talk about it more right after the break.
Hi,
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Welcome back, beloved. Don't you really, honestly, deep in your gut, pardon the expression, but deep down inside, don't you want to know how you are supposed to live, that you know how to handle the situations of life, that you know what to do with the conflicts, that you know how to make it through the trials, that you know how to make it through the mayhem or the boredom or the pressure from the world to conform? Don't you want to know that? Don't you want to have a confidence so that as you live, as you raise your family, as you go about life, as you go through the different seasons of life, you know that you know that you know that you're on the right track. And you so know and you're so strong that the world cannot squeeze you into its mold. And see, the world so desires to squeeze you into its mold. The world so desires to keep you away from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the world desires that because they hate Him. And they hate Him because He's light and because light dispels darkness. They hate Him because He is a bigot in a sense because He says, I am the way. And I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Well, Paul says that everything in his life, everything that he has counted as gain, he now counts as loss because he wants to know Christ, because he wants to gain Christ. Now, watch the way he expresses this. He says, so that I may gain Christ, verse 9 of Philippians 3, and be found in Him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law. Remember, He had that righteousness of the law. I mean, He kept the letter. He did it all right. I mean, at this point in time, I mean, Jews were going through all sorts of ceremonies, cleansing their hands, keeping fingers together, and keeping them clean in kind of a ritual kind of affair to be righteous, to be right with God. But it was like Martin Luther. The more that he tried to be right with God, the more that he tried to keep the law, the more that he tried to do everything that they said would make him holy, the more he saw his own unholiness. He saw his own unrighteousness. And what you see when you see Christ is you see that there is a righteousness to be found in Him. Now, a righteousness to be found in Him, if you'll just think of it as a right way of living, a right way of thinking, a right value that you have on all of life, a right perspective. So he says that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God, now listen carefully, on the basis of faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is taking God at His word. If you go to the book of Hebrews and you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and that's the faith chapter, and over and over and over again, you'll see the word faith, 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 by faith, by faith, by faith. And it opens up with a definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance, or it is the substance of things hoped for. things that you're hoping for and you don't have them yet, but because you know them and understand them, they're as good as yours. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the conviction of things not seen. For instance, I am fully convinced that Jesus Christ is going to come back down to earth, that he is going to reign on this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm fully convinced that the whole world someday will go up to Jerusalem where the throne of the Lord is, and there they will worship him. I am absolutely convinced that when I die, I'm absent from this body and I'm present with the Lord. I am absolutely convinced that this corruptible will put on incorruptible and this mortal will put on immortality. And someday I will come back here and I will live on the face of this earth and I will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Now, you can tell me I'm crazy, but I want you to know I'm not. And I'm not, because I understand the Word of God. And because I understand the Word of God and because I believe these truths, then I have a righteousness that is based on faith. And I don't live my life the way the world lives it. I live it according to the standards of God, not to the mores or the standards of our culture. So this is what he's talking about. So righteousness is a very important word in this passage. And we see a contrast. There's a righteousness of the law. In other words, keeping, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do and I don't go with girls that do. That kind of righteousness. You know, whatever you think makes you holy. And so it's the external things that you do. That's the righteousness of the law, trying to please God in your own strength. Versus the righteousness of God, which comes through faith. So it's a righteousness that comes through performance, and it's a righteousness that comes through believing. The righteousness that comes through believing ends up in a manifested change in the way that you live. But that change comes not because you've gotten your act together, but that change is coming simply because you know that this is what God says. You know that this is what is true, so you're going to live that way. Now, in our study guide, and remember, you can download that at preceptsforlife.com. In our study guide, we suggest that you write, that you mark the word righteousness. And so I just simply colored it blue. So I colored it in verse 6. I colored it in verse 9. And that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that righteousness, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Now watch what he says, that I may know him. So once again, he's talking about knowing Christ. Now what's going to keep you from knowing Christ? Well, what is keeping you from knowing Christ? See, what is keeping you from going deeper? The other day, I was teaching here at Precept Ministries International's headquarters, because we do inductive study courses, precept upon precept. And as I was teaching, I said, you know, there is so much that we have to learn in the Word of God, and yet we want all these frivolous other things around us instead of paying the price to know the Word of God. What is it that keeps us from paying the price? Well, beloved, it is the love of things. It is the love of things. It is the demand of things. It is the time that things take. It is the time that things consume. And you don't want that to happen to you. We're going to look at this more in our next program. But today, just ask yourself, do I want things or do I want Christ?
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Well, beloved, it's that nitty-gritty time in the program, that time when we stop and we just reflect on what we've just heard. We stop and we look, okay, God, what are your precepts for life? A precept is a standard. A precept is a plumb line by which you measure things. And so we want to look at God's Word and let us measure our life. And so my question to you today is, what is it that is keeping you from spending time with God? And what I would suggest that you do before our next program is I would suggest that you keep a running log for the next few days. And what you do is you look at how much time you're spending in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. I'm not talking about reading and having your 3 minutes a day, but I'm talking about getting to know the Word of God, studying it the way we're teaching you how to study it. So keep a log. Just write it down. Jot it, keep a pad beside your bed or keep it by a chair or wherever you're going to study the Bible. And just write down how much time that you've spent each day for the next several days. Let's do it for a week. And then check yourself. And add up that time. Then add up the number of hours in the day. And how many hours, subtract how many hours you need to sleep. And then look at the hours that you have left. What portion of your day do you give to the Lord? What portion of your time does He have? And how much television are you watching? How much sports are you playing? What are you doing with your time? Stop and evaluate it, because someday, beloved, you're going to give an account to the one that said that we are to redeem the time. We are to buy it back. We're not to let things control our life. Rather, we are to control the things in our life, that we might redeem the time, that we might buy it back, so that we might know Christ and that we might know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, so that we might gain Him, so that we might have that knowledge of how to live and how to handle every situation of life in the light of the Word of God, so that you and I might have a righteousness that comes by faith, because we know what God says, and we're going to listen, and we're going to obey, and we're going to live accordingly. That's your precept.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging onto our website at preceptsforlife.com. Or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.